So yes, we need more consolidation, we need more infrastructure reforms. That's as easy as that. And if you ask what is the German contribution to this European growth process, it's also easy. That's that. That's the so-called, what we call in Germany, the net zero, which means we have a balanced budget, and that's what we have to do in order to keep the market satisfied. The trust of the markets is not yet sufficiently strong. That's no joke. That's what they tell you. If you talk to people in Berlin, say, why don't we have some deficit? They say, the truth, the trust of the markets is not strong, not yet sufficiently stable. And if we now have a deficit, then the markets will be, I don't know, impaired. And now then, what do you think the markets would go? If the markets don't buy German bonds any longer, what they want to, what do they want to buy? And that's the question. Let's a little bit more serious. So what is the problem with the euro area? And how can the euro area get out of the trouble? And in order to answer this, I want to go a little bit, step a little bit back and take somewhat longer perspective and ask what went wrong in the euro area. If you just look at the growth rates, GDP growth rates from the time when the euro area started, the euro area was not doing so badly, at least until 2007. So it was growing not as strong as the UK and as ISS, but somehow there was some growth, and it definitely feels better than Japan. So it definitely was more growth. So the question is, what happened? Why did the euro area have such a bad time after 2007, 2008? And if it's really a structural problem, which is the question, why did the structural problems just materialize at the time? Because structural problems is something more long term, that's not something that comes overnight. So is it really that suddenly the structural problems appear, and since that time the euro area had its problems? And if you want to answer the question, was it really structural reforms? I think it's interesting just to look at the fiscal policy in the euro area, in the UK, in Japan, in the US, and you can see it was a completely different story. While as a response to the crisis, deficits went up tremendously in the three other currency areas, but they really tried to fight the recession with huge deficits. In the euro area, almost nothing happened. And so it's not a minor difference, it's a huge difference. And if people say, well, if you take the US and the UK, these are definitely countries where most German economists would agree, these are the countries that have done most structural reforms. These are the ideals, the ideal state of being structurally reformed. And a country like France would never maybe come into the situation of the UK. But even these countries, which are so liberalized, also on goods market, everything is liberalized, they were in need of such a huge fiscal stimulus. Which obviously shows that even if they have the best world in terms of structural reforms, they could not get through the crisis without a huge fiscal stimulus. And this fiscal stimulus was simply lacking in the euro area. And I think that's why, even the most obvious explanation, why things went wrong in the euro area. Because the euro area was not willing to provide the fiscal stimulus that was required to fight this crisis. And even worse, it was not only fiscal policy, which was much more aggressive in the three other country areas. The same thing, let me explain why is this fiscal stimulus so important. It was already said, the problem is deleveraging. And deleveraging, you can see easily, if you take an indicator, which you see in the left, which I use quite often, which is helpful, I call it private financial balances. This is simply, if you take the current account take the current account balance minus the fiscal balance, then you get the private sector balance. And you can see that all countries, due to the crisis, have a positive private sector balances, which is unusual because in the standard textbook, these private sector balances should be zero. In the ideal fairy tale of economics, private households are saving, and the savings of households are used by the enterprise sector, but goes together, being up to zero. You can see, well, before the So the euro area suffered insufficient fiscal policy response, insufficient monetary response, and so it's not surprising that the euro area is one of the biggest problems. Now, somehow the situation has stabilized, so we have seen that now some positive developments. We were talking about this. We have Spain and some other countries, and some first positive developments, even from Greece. We have a forecast of a positive growth rate, and also some positive effects. The disappointment is not going down further. Some people say, well, now we see, especially in Spain, that the structural reforms are successful. So if you read the report that was published by our council, they say, now Spain is the example. This is the model country. If you have really enough structural reforms, it will really work. And also accordingly. But I would say the explanation that the situation stabilized is again macroeconomic. And it's macroeconomic because now consolidation has stopped. So there is no further in countries like Spain and also the euro area. If you go to the very right, you can see the structural deficit, structural fiscal balances in 2013, 14, 15 remains constant. So somehow, that's a positive thing, they've realized that much consolidation is hazardous for the economic health. And in Spain is a good example. Spain has a deficit. This is a structural deficit. Spain has a deficit of almost 6% last year, this year, next year. Yeah. And so this, so Spain, in my view, is not an example that structural reforms that pay off, but it's an example that if you allow countries some deficit, then somehow at least the recession does not continue. So that's so funny thing. Funny, that's what the thing that I left. As a so-called group of advanced economies, and Spain has the second highest deficit of all these countries. But in Germany, nobody wants to know about that, because they have done the structural reforms, and that's why they're so successful. No, it's not true. And if you look at the car registry, new car sales in Spain, they've gone up quite a lot. Why? Not because of structural reforms, because of the Cash for Youngers program that they have initiated. So, at the case, so you were saying there's some positive elements. Yes, Greece, they've realized we have to be careful. France is also an example. They allowed 4% deficit. So, this very brutal austerity that has been unfortunately applied to this country is no longer the recipe. And so, that's at least some sign of hope. Another sign of hope is that the ECB, at least now, for the last 2 years, has realized what they have to do. Draghi has now done a quite good job. He has announced an increase in the balance sheet, which you can see on the right chart, back to the levels, to the maximum levels it had some 2 years ago, which means very strong increase in the monetary base. And this approach that could work quite well. But if now all European countries try this, the only result will be we'll end up in deflation, this kind of asymmetric approach. So it's very dangerous to say, look, what Germany has done was successful. Yes, it was successful, but only if Germany alone does it.